Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the July 2nd, 2023 service at Plymouth, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, the Reverend Paulette Mixon Weller.
I trust in your steadfast love, O God. My heart rejoices in your salvation.
I will sing praises unto you, O Lord, because you have dealt bountifully with me.
Let us worship God.
Next is the hymn, I Will Sing the Mercies of the Lord.
Genesis. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, We Bow Down and Worship You, Lord. Thank you.
Now we come to our gospel lesson for today, and it's from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. A very short passage for today. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we are not going to touch the Old Testament passage today, but there's so much we could say about it. Thank goodness God provided another way than Abraham's son. But we are going to focus on the Matthew text and being welcomed in someone else's name. That is really an honor and a privilege. Whenever one of your adult grandchildren or children come, they are welcomed kind of on behalf of you. Because we love and trust you, we automatically love and trust them. So it is such an honor and a privilege, a gift, to be the one on the receiving end of the welcome. Community is created through these bonds and these extended relationships. So this is what Christ had in mind. The disciples were welcomed in his name, even by strangers. So one thing that I could think of is my mom, you know, grew up in the South, in New Orleans, and she's a really good aunt and grandma. So anytime we fly to see my family, if we get stuck in Texas, because we often get stuck in Texas because there's a storm, she'll say, "Call Cousin Mike." And I call Cousin Mike, and he comes and gets us, no matter how many of us there are. He comes and gets us from the airport and takes us home and rolls out the red carpet, and we get to stay there and we have a meal, and then ushers us back to the airport the next day. So this is kind of being welcomed in someone else's name. You get the benefits by your relationship. So it really isn't an exaggeration to say that we are welcomed in another's name. So goodwill can be built up and then passed down to the next generation or the next people. So in the same way, we're all related in Christ, and we represent Christ to other people. We are ambassadors coming in his name. It's an honor, a privilege, and a responsibility. As we are welcomed, we welcome others, and we humbly share with one another. So we are all God's children, and it is so important to share God's gifts. So Mother Teresa wrote, we have a sign on the wall of the children's home in Calcutta that reads, "Take time to think, take time to pray, take time to laugh. It is the source of power. It is the greatest power on earth. It is the music of the soul." And this will be on the website, so you can look at it later. Take time to play. Take time to love and be loved. Take time to give. It is the secret of perpetual youth. It is God's given privilege. It is too short a day to be selfish. Take time to read. Take time to be friendly. Take time to work. It is the fountain of wisdom. It is the road of happiness. It is the price of success. Take time to do charity. It is the key to heaven. Prayer in action is love, and love in action is service. We are all God's children, so it is important to share God's gifts. By this, by sharing God's gifts with one another, community is formed. And I wanted to share this with you because eventually you will welcome a new pastor, as I am your interim pastor and have about 3 or 4 more Sundays left with you. I've loved you so much, and I still love you and will continue. You will be in my prayers, our prayers, always. But this I learned in the Air Force when I joined as a chaplain. It's about group dynamics. So Dr. Bruce Tuckman, a psychology professor, came up with this idea in the 60s of a group development stages model. And I think it is so profound. And raise your hand if you've heard it. Forming, storming, norming, performing. Have any of you? All right. Okay. The social worker and the chaplain and pastor. So basically, almost in any community, this happens. As new people are welcomed into any community and other people leave, a natural phenomenon occurs in the group. So when a new pastor, for example, enters the equation, usually there is a time of forming as a new ministry team with the pastor. You share emotional connections and a vision, and things are wonderful. It's kind of the honeymoon period. You're forming. And then things might get a little rocky because the connections are being strengthened and you're a little more free to be yourself. So you share, okay, I like your idea, but a little nuanced, I believe this. And it's actually a really good thing, but it's called storming. So you start with forming and then you have storming because you're more authentic. And this is when the connections actually grow deeper. And if communication remains respectful and constructive, the team becomes stronger and more effective. So that's a key, to remain respectful and respectful of yourself, to feel free and open to say the things that are on your mind. Like when you have an opinion that differs from an opinion, because you guys are really smart and bring a lot, you know, feel free to say it and say it in a respectful, constructive manner, but feel free to speak your mind. So that will help the team and the church grow stronger and become even more effective. As the team grows closer and learns to appreciate each other and how the different gifts brought complement one another, the whole church community becomes, and they go into the norming phase. So you have norming, you have forming, storming, and norming. So you get kind of, okay, I know what this person's about. I know what Ida Mae brings. Or a little bit, you know. You kind of get an idea of each other, and you start to really form and norm from the storming. Then as the team develops and continues to maintain respect for one another and true relationships grow, performing begins. So you go from forming, storming, norming, and performing. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And when I was in basic chaplain course, we would chart it. We would say, we'd do an anonymous survey. Where are we now? And we were together for 6 weeks. Are we storming? Are we norming? Are we performing? And it was really interesting, and they would chart it on a graph in the front. So just know that if you go through that, that is perfectly normal and actually good. It is a part of being a community. It's a part of welcoming new people. And anytime you welcome even a new member, you know, a new person, this comes in. When there's different gifts that come in, that's what you want. You don't want to be a pond that knows exactly what's going to happen. You want the fresh water coming in. But sometimes that means the big C word, change, which is hard. Change is hard for everyone. But in the weeks to come, you know, next week, so we'll send you home today with the mission study report, and you can read over it, and then we'll kind of talk about it next week and flesh it out a little bit. So if you have time to read over the report, it's It's well written. So many have worked hard and shared their gifts, and all of you have contributed when we did, do you remember the Labyrinth Day? I can remember sitting on the floor, putting the string on, taping it. It was really an adventure. And we all reflected together and took a survey, and we've done lots of different things throughout this last year and a half. And it'll be kind of fun to see it summed up, and we can think about the future together. You're one of my favorite churches, and you're so lovely, and there are great things ahead. It's going to be really exciting. Well, as we are welcomed by God with open arms, we welcome others. Isn't it interesting to think that God welcomes? Like, what does God go through in welcoming all of us? As we are welcomed by God with open arms, we welcome others. Welcome of the other brings change, and change is hard. But it isn't a four-letter word, it's a six-letter word that can open us to new possibilities. So another thing I learned in the Air Force was the motto, attitude is leadership. And I think that's the best thing I learned. Attitude is leadership. So by each one of us having a positive attitude about the next phase of the church's life, it leads others to have a positive attitude, and it actually makes things better. It actually changes how things come to fruition. Well, as others are welcomed and change occurs, one of my prayers for you is that you will have an open and hopeful attitude, because everything we do in the name of Christ Jesus as his ambassadors. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Next is the hymn, In the Singing.
Jesus.
now we go out knowing that we don't go alone. We go out surrounded within and without by the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Christ, now and always. Amen. Thank you.